so people are aware of my comments.
As Chairman Brad Holton, I'll call the meeting back to order. Still present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek, and we have Chief Hart here to help lead the way.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioners, we're very flexible in how you want to go through with this. We've presented each of you with our draft worksheets for fiscal year 2025. The way they're organized is our major budgets first, and then those that are still need to be reviewed, but are lesser amounts, such as CCNU and waterways and emergency management. We're happy to, these budget worksheets show the past 3 years, and then our proposal for FY 2025, and we're happy to go through line by line or just talk about these in general, answer any questions that you may have, we're ready to proceed however is most helpful to you.
If it's all right with the board, let's just have you note highlights and changes, and let's go through it that way.
Okay.
Unless you have a different method that you're wanting to do.
No, we don't.
Okay.
So let's just start on, let's start with revenues on the, so the first budget is 410, so our field services budget, those are the worksheets that you have. I think the major thing that's going to be different in FY 25 is an adjustment in our anticipated revenues over prior years. I think if you look at the second page, so the first page, first and half of the second page show all of our revenues. And you'll see that our total revenues for FY 2025 are slightly over $3 million, which is an adjustment or an increase from prior years by a fairly substantial margin. I think that we presented to the board some paperwork previously that showed that our anticipated revenues for FY 2024 were considerably higher than we had anticipated. The higher revenues are a result of higher than anticipated IDOC prisoner numbers in the jail, along with higher than anticipated commissary, higher than anticipated telephone and tablet revenue from the new systems we've put in place. And additionally, we had adjusted the civil fees, which also resulted in higher revenues than previously. So while we're not a revenue generating entity, the decisions that we've made as it relates to those communications within the jail, commissary, fee adjustment, and so forth, have resulted in higher revenues than we've had previously, and then we've accounted for those to try to adjust that in the FY 2025 budget. Anything else on revenues, Dave?
No, it's a major item.
Okay. Any questions on revenues?
Chief, would it be a correct statement to say that most of those revenues are choose to participate with that?
I mean, yes, the bulk of the revenues, the biggest portion of unanticipated revenues this year comes from IDOC prisoner housing, so that's
okay.
A little bit different.
That's a different.
But the other revenues, we decided to go with a company called CTEL for telephones and tablets in the jail. That has generated...
Okay.
That's generated quite a bit more revenue on a monthly basis than we had anticipated. But that decision wasn't made to generate revenue. It was made to provide a better ability for our inmates to communicate with their families, to give them more access to books and other things. Bill, do you want to, there's some unintended consequences that I think are really significant that I'd like the board to be aware of that are associated with that system and those revenues. Do you want to?
Well, I can talk about the system a little bit. The big thing for us is by going to their platform, is it allowed better tracking investigations. We're seeing a lot less paper mail being sent out now that we're able to do text messages. The really nice thing about the text messages is, you know, they may choose to do it or they can write a paper letter, but we are able, as an investigation tool, to be able to search and find crimes being committed much easier with that platform. And then what it did for us is it reduces, one, all the paper that we had coming in and out, and it may take pace of 10 cents a text message, which generates us revenue off of those. Much better platform.
Can you comment on the behavioral issues?
Behavioral, I mean, we saw immediately a 60% decrease in incidences within the jail because the tablets keep them occupied. Not only can they do their video visit on it, we have 70,000 books on those tablets that are free to the inmate. It allows them to purchase or rent games, movies, and it's almost an eerie calm in the jail when you walk through there from where it used to be. It used to be loud, and now with them having earpieces in and that distraction device that they're using, we've seen a huge reduction in early crimes, batteries in the facility.
So that was the main thing that yes, this is generating more income for us, but a 60% reduction in incidents within the jail, as well as all of the free things provided. And it is, as you said, Chairman, it's a choose to use system. Nobody's mandated to do so, and there's quite a bit of free content available to the inmates from making that decision. What's been our monthly revenue from that?
70,000.
So far?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the big numbers. About 40,000.
Yeah. So
between 42 and 43,000 is what we see per month on that system. And like the chief said, there is a lot of free stuff on those for the inmates to use. Education, GD classes, every Bible that you could possibly think of in any language is on it. So there is a ton of free stuff for them. So anything that revenue is generated is purely for them to choose whether they want to do it or not. Even the visits, we offer 1 hour per week for free. So,
Chairman,
just wanted that noted in the public.
Yeah,
and it's a great move. As commissioners, we get a lot of things, and evidently my number prior was one off from the jail, so I would get complaints from people about the system, the telecommunication system that was in there. And so if this upgrades the costs, even for staffing your jail where you have shortages or whatever, to say that it's revenue generating, the sheriff's office always have places. If you look at overall the numbers that we're trying to do to enhance our public safety and security, I guess I would say that money has places to go for funding law enforcement in Canyon County, which we are very supportive of. So it's a great move. I'm glad. I don't get complaints anymore, mostly because I changed my phone number, but I'm glad to hear that it's going well.
Reduction in complaints as well. And that was one reason we did choose to go a different direct route with the companies. We have went from having almost zero customer service to
mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions on revenues? Rick?
Nope.
You have anything?
No, I was just going to confirm that the item that you were just discussing, is that technically under in power plant under payphones?
Yes.
Isn't
okay.
It? Yeah.
Yes.
Your
yes.
Payphones.
369106.
Yeah, that's absolutely gone up. There's nothing else. I think you've made some slight adjustments up and down on some other items, and you noted the grants going away. That was a small amount, but you realized quite a bit. You said no funding under the Biden admin.
Right, for the SCAP program, we saw the appropriation of zero for this administration for the 2024 fiscal year, which means no funding for that period.
Just curious, because you realized 68,000 in the current fiscal year?
Yeah, those are back payments for 21, 22.
Gotcha, okay.
And so will we still have some SCAP grant money in 2025? Because it's not a...
Potentially, it depends on the change in administration.
Okay.
Oh, sure, bring that up. Okay.
The other thing I will cite quickly is the landfill work release program, which is on the second page, the fifth item down. And so, once again, that's Bill's side of the house, but we reduce the cost to participate in that program, which substantially increased the participation. And with that increased participation, are a lot of opportunities for those inmates to work at the landfill. And so we're seeing quite a higher number there by choosing to reduce the fee associated with participating in the work release program. So that was another really good decision by our security services. They've been very forward thinking, and a lot of these decisions are having some really tremendous positive benefits for the inmates and for us as a result of some of the additional revenues generated.
Chairman?
Yes.
One other question for
Chief
Hart. I did notice there's a significant sort of a rebound, the high intensity drug trafficking.
Yes.
It's highlighted in yellow. Is that money already awarded?
Hasn't been awarded yet, so it'll be on a strictly reimbursement basis in 25, but it'll be strictly CCNU related. Just so happens the revenue runs through the 410 account. Well, same fund. The 116, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that was a decision that we made to try to find additional sources of revenue that doesn't cost the county anything to help augment the city-county narcotics unit. And so the high-intensity drug trafficking area program is a federal program, and we just decided to see if we could pretty substantially increase the amount of federal dollars coming to that task force. There are some strings attached if we buy equipment in terms of inventorying, and then there are annual audits associated with that. But we've submitted that budget paperwork to HIDA in an effort to provide additional resources to combat drugs in Canyon County, and to do so without costing the county those additional dollars. So I think that's going to be successful. We've been working hard with HIDA. The sheriff has been on the HIDA's board for a number of years and has developed that relationship. And so we decided to seek an increase in that particular line item.
Awesome. All right.
Okay. We can skip expenses if you'd like.
Yes.
On revenues, I do see law enforcement services, you actually added 5%. What are those services for?
Those are contractual services for the city of Middleton, Caldwell. And we presume they'll increase in cost. That was just a placeholder.
So those fees aren't 100% decided yet, but we did a very extensive analysis of the cost of our dispatch center. And traditionally, some of the smaller cities weren't charged, but Middleton has grown to the point that they're almost 10% of our dispatch now. And so that we can't provide that volume of service without a cost. And so we've had meetings with Parma, with Wilder, with Middleton, with Caldwell Fire. We're still waiting for Caldwell Police Department to try to appropriately adjust the fees associated with our dispatch center so that we are reimbursed at the right levels. It may take us a couple of years to get that right because we haven't done the kind of analysis that we completed to associate the costs of dispatch with each of those entities. And some of those, it's quite a shock to hear that we'd like them to start paying for part of the service that they receive. And so we need to give those city councils time to put that in their budget. Those are the meetings that we're having. And so that's a placeholder right now. And we anticipate in the coming years that we'll see additional revenues there. Our intention there is that I think as we've looked to the future that we may have to grow our dispatch center. And so that those fees would pay for new positions in the future. There's no new positions in our proposed budget right now, but we're preparing for those positions by right-sizing the fees associated with the dispatch center so that when we look at that and determine if there's a need, then we've accounted for that based on adjusting those fees. Okay, so next would be our expenses in 410 field services. So we do have included for project one of our 3-year strategic plan a request for an additional 4 new PCNs for patrol. Which the board was generous to grant last year. We have that same request this year. And I apologize, I don't know. Have we presented the analysis for driver's license to the board? I may have to make copies, but we did an extensive, so in terms of new positions, it's those 4 new positions, and then we are requesting 1 new position at driver's license. We have 1 desk space that's vacant, and we did an analysis that I'm happy to provide, but I can give you just a very high level view of that. And really what we're looking at is the number of people that we're servicing and the wait time that's associated with that. And so if we look in the past couple of years, our average wait time for a walk-in was 27 minutes, 26 minutes. Our average wait time now is 41 minutes for a walk-in. And the reason is that we have a much larger number of citizens coming in to utilize those services. And so what I would suggest is we can, I have a full analysis that has our findings and 3 or 4 years worth of data. If we can just make copies and we'll provide this to you. This is why that's not a position we anticipated. It's not something that's in our 3-year strategic plan, but it's based on, it's a service that we need to provide. We have 1 more desk space out there and we'd like to fill it with a full-time position. So I will make sure we break. Would you mind getting that? So we'll get copies to everyone.
I do have a question. traditionally the ATV system is not the best out there.
Yeah.
Does that contribute to the wait times or is it strictly just 9 hours?
I don't think so. If you look at the wait times for when people make an appointment, we're fairly consistent that that's, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. But it's just the volume of people we're serving. And so that's one just to take a look at. We're doing pretty well as it relates to when people make an appointment. Their wait time is still very minimal. But for walk-ins, we're almost doubling wait time just because of the volume that we're seeing there.
Chairman, what's your targeted wait time?
The best person to answer that just walked out the door. So in the past, the wait time has hovered around 20 to 25 minutes.
Right.
We're now at over 40 minutes. So I don't have a figure in mind. I'm just highlighting the fact that we're almost at max. If we add one more position, then we have no more, then literally every station will be filled full-time Monday through Friday out there. And then if it gets worse beyond that, we would have to make some adjustments. But adding a position, I think, would alleviate that substantially. It just depends on if you feel that this is the year to do that or if that's something that we need to wait for a year. I would certainly, in terms of priority, I would put the new deputy PCNs ahead of that, but we wanted the board to be aware of the analysis that we had completed and the issue that we're facing, a driver's license.
Just, I guess, a comment, because we still hear comments from the community, but the wait time, that's been a focus, and it's made the media for how long people have to wait out there, and particularly where you don't have a separation between gun registration, sexual offender registration, regular registration, there's people bringing their kids during that registration, and so to cut that, and even if 20 or 25 minutes is your target time, that's what people know, or you had the ability to cover during a lunch, that's also important because when people are waiting, they don't always understand the logistics. So I appreciate that consideration of coverage out there. We hear a lot about it.
Yeah. But as far as new positions, that's the only ones. And then, of course, there's that other matter that we discussed previously. And we've accounted for that budgetarily, but there isn't a specific position request for those matters, and so we'll wait to get an update on how we want to proceed there. Maybe between now and the next budget workshop in July, we can specifically account for that depending on what decision is arrived at.
Okay.
Dave, anything else that jumps out as far as expenses?
On the A side?
Yes.
I just pointed out, or would point out, that these are just filling numbers right now from the auditor's office until they have an actual salary going forward. So we won't know those numbers until that time frame.
Okay.
So is that hitting our $50,000 for the pay grade and pay schedule?
Yes. And that's probably, I think that's based on, and that's that we may have to have at some point have a brief executive session because there are some specific salaries associated with that compensation program. But I believe that number is going to be potentially reduced. So we just need to.
That's all good news.
Potentially reduced. So that's the A side for, and then we get into on the B budget. I don't really think there's anything terribly significant. What's the service? This one.
So those are the contractual service agreements that we have had in the past and going forward. They should be outlined somewhere in our plan. It consists of several entities that provide services for us.
Okay. We went through line by line and tried to do the best we could to find savings wherever we could. At the end of the day, in terms of total expenses, we're at about 1.1 million over last year. So am I reading that correctly?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And you will see the project numbers for projects that are associated with the three-year strategic plan in terms of our computer equipment. This year is another somewhat expensive year for computer equipment, but after this year we'll then be caught up and be on that five-year rotation that we had targeted. So there is a little bit higher expense associated with Project 40 this year, but in subsequent years that should be a lower number. Are there any specific questions I can answer for the board as it relates to our line items for expenses?
Sounds like there's a transition to the next phase, but I what I'm seeing is just the net increase of a million. You did actually reduce the year-over-year B budget, so thank you for finding savings there. And then what's significant to me, and I think on the record, is you're showing revenues at about a $500,000 increase over the prior year, which covers, you know, close to half of what the increased costs are on the bottom line. So that's, I think, mostly good news. So just wanted to note that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. We have we have experienced a slight growth increase, you know. Slight. Just a couple billion.
We're ready to move on to security services if that works for the commissioners.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
So all of our revenues were covered in the previous budget, correct?
Correct.
So we're just in terms of expenses for security services. You'll see on that first page under new and reclassified positions, we just put a placeholder there for that prior discussion that we've had. So that accounts for a fairly significant number. And then as we go through the expenses, it's fairly standard. I think the main outlier in all of this with security services is contained on page 2 under the inmate housing lease. You'll see $1.9 million, which is the contractual obligation for the buyout of Pod 6. And I apologize, I don't have an update. I reported previously we had a very good meeting and provided a substantial amount of detail to the PA's office to begin negotiations in an attempt to reduce that number as much as possible. And I will get an update and get that to the board. But I haven't personally seen a letter go out. We emphasize there's a timeliness issue. But we will follow up on that.
Okay.
So for now, that's the number that we put in there, and we're hoping that that's reduced considerably. Are there any questions as it relates to the expenses for security services?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
that placeholder on the new and reclassified positions without specificity, the 1.35 million, does that include the one-time upfit for staff?
No, because I thought we would attempt to pay for that out of FY24 funds. Yeah. And so between that and pod six, that's why you're seeing that number of total expenses be considerably higher. If you take both of those out, then we're fairly stable.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Page two, inmate medical services, is that a, looks a 9-10% bump? Is that pretty typical? It's what, third line from the top? 521170.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it was a 10% increase requested by the company we use.
Okay, so thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Account number 553323, there's 15,000 for a SCAP grant, correctional expense. Since there's no revenue on SCAP, is that holdover expense?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Or, well, that will be, no, that's correct, holdover expense.
Chairman?
Yes.
I'm going to assume the same increase for Summit concerning food?
Yes.
Let's move on.
Okay.
We good?
Yes.
All right.
Next category would be our dispatch. And as you can see, we were able to achieve a reduction over prior year's expenses. I'm happy to answer any questions. This one's fairly straightforward and short.
I
How long does it take, let's see, sheriff's fees, revenues? Line nine, like we're past the halfway point, but we've definitely not collected half of the money. Is that typically, is that par for the course, I guess?
So a good portion of that relates to the ambulance district. So they'll pay biannually.
Okay.
The other half until, right, August.
That makes sense. Thank you. I'm good, Mr. Chairman.
We good?
Good.
All right, let's move on.
Next is emergency communications. And this is this occupies the next three pages, but we're currently at a slight increase over the prior, or I'm sorry, again, a slight decrease over the prior year, so a decrease of approximately $71,000.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This budget is 911 driven, correct?
Correct.
So 911 funds this department.
Mr. Chairman, if the surcharge on cell phones was to be changed, is this the account that would be affected by that?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you know if there's any hope that it will be changed?
I don't.
Okay.
I had heard there was some legislation.
There is.
That this year, but I didn't keep up on
where it went,
okay. Where we landed.
All right. Because good grief, with the technology we have, this is archaic.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Our next budget is CCNU. If we'd like to move on to that one.
Is it okay to move on? Let's do it.
I have one question.
Just one.
Just one.
Okay.
Just more of a conceptual question. I'm not sure where it fits in here, but has there been talks with IT about moving your dispatch over to fiber optics on those trunk lines for 911?
And I don't have Chuck here, so I don't know if that's it.
And I apologize, Chairman, Commissioners. My knowledge on this is a little limited, but I believe that there's some requirements that we have copper line coming in to the telephone system for the 911 system. I'm not sure of all of the technical requirements of it, but that was through conversations what I was led to believe was that we have to have copper wire coming in for the 911 system.
I'm encouraged to have further talks with IT. That's good enough. That's all I need.
Yep. We can look at having a redundant system.
Yeah, it's always on my to-do list. I'm just curious.
All right.
Next one's very short. This is our CCNU budget. As we talked about previously, under our revenue section, we've sought additional revenues to help augment this, but we were able to decrease this budget slightly as well. That we had made some adjustments in personnel with CCNU, and they've been doing exceptionally good work for the county and the city of Caldwell, and very productive task force.
Okay.
The next budget is our emergency management. Ready to move on to that one?
Yep, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So with this budget, we have a slight increase, mostly attributable to Project 37 in our three-year strategic plan, which is to begin to develop a cache of radios for use in the event of an emergency, which we simply don't have at the present time.
Right.
And so that accounts for, if we didn't have that project in there, we would again have had a slight reduction in this budget, but we do feel it's important to be able to have some spare radios to be able to distribute for communications in the event of an emergency, and that's why you'll see an increase over last year of about $91,000.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Are you still anticipating potential grant funding for that?
I think that's possible, yes. And we do have, it looks like the grant funds are always a little uncertain as far as the specific amounts.
Yeah, we don't know what the 24 or the 25 award is going to be for either the SHSP or the EMPG grants, but those are pretty consistent ballparks, so it's a share program. EMPG is 50%, SHSP is 100% reimbursed, so.
So yes, you can see on page one, we're trying to use the SHSP grant to cover that. Our last one is waterways.
Still no vote.
Can you give them an update on that? Because I know I've seen the emails, but.
Unfortunately, there's been a supply interruption with the aluminum. So, granted, they're out for another, 6 to 8 months.
Oh, gosh.
The boat hasn't even been built yet. So.
Chairman, Commissioners, last I talked with Sergeant Roberts, they thought that they were going to August delivery date. We don't have a firm date yet, but they experienced supply chain issues. They've done pretty well with trying to keep us up toward the front of the list, but we're hoping here in the next 60 days or so that we'll see delivery on the boat.
Really?
Mr. Chair, didn't we order that in 22 calendar year?
We did, and it was about an 18-month waiting list from the time that you ordered. The company was pretty good with us in that they backdated our order to when we first started the investigative process with them. And had it not been for the supply chain issues, we would have had the boat probably early spring this year.
Okay. Thank you. So other than the boat issue, which we hope will be resolved, we're fairly consistent with our budget in waterways. We did have an increase in boat repair supplies, as well as some miscellaneous supplies. There's just a lot of equipment that's kind of smaller, ropes, tow straps, life vests, that is out of service, and we need to secure new items. So that's why you'll see under miscellaneous, under miscellaneous supplies, we asked for $5,000.
Okay.
Yep.
And then the last one is boating safety. That's identical to last year's budget.
Right, yeah. This our season.
All right. Let's move on. Is that okay?
Yep.
All right.
Any other questions we can answer for you, Chairman or Commissioners?
I don't have any at this time. Mr. Chairman, I'm good with plugging this in and then obviously keep it for discussion and see what's going to happen with Pod 6. Still holding out for my preferred price tag. And go from there.
You know, tentatively, we have approved your preferred price tag. We just got to get there. All right.
Well, you have the, if you'll take some time between now and the next budget workshop, you have the analysis for that
driver's license.
For that driver's license position. We do have one position title reclassification that I think you'll see in the near future for emergency management. 2 years ago, the board augmented a second position in emergency management. I don't know if the board is aware, but that position or Christine's position has been to maintain all of the radios and communications as well as the emergency management.
Right.
We feel that the best use of that second position, having looked at that for quite a while, is to hire a dedicated radio-only, communications-only employee. We think that's a much better use of that position.
Absolutely. It
frees up Christine to focus solely on the emergency management piece, and it gives us a highly skilled radio capability for repairs and maintenance and all of that. So that's just a retitling. We are asking to move it up one grade, but in terms of, it's really just renaming that position. And so we have the resolution written. That'll come before the board here shortly. We think that's a really good move and a thoughtful move to improve our in-house capabilities to maintain that radio communication system with a better skill set.
Right, I agree.
And then lastly, as we did last year, with the board's permission, I'd like to schedule some time. I'll do that hopefully in July, but as we have projected our expenses for FY24, we have some projects that you haven't seen yet, new body cameras and some things that are pretty critical for us that I believe I can fund out of already allocated FY24 money. And I would love the opportunity to come in front of the board and present those things to you and get your thoughts on using FY24 money to try to get as far along as we can to finish out those capital equipment needs and have us really well situated for the coming years.
Chairman, I'm in favor of that. I was just going to ask how many projects, where you were at in that project continuum and what you...
Thank you, Commissioner. We've really been able, last year we were able to fund 25 of these projects, which was really out of last year's money. We've had a couple of new projects that which we anticipated would come up, and we'll have them in the same format so that we can give them to you to put in into the strategic plan. The biggest one is body cameras. We've been testing and evaluating a body camera system. Ours is really old and takes hours and hours and hours of deputies' time to download, whereas the newer body cameras, that's pretty much instantaneous, so we're saving a lot of time for the deputies that they could be out on the road doing their jobs instead of waiting for their cameras to download. We need to finish out the pistol project or the weapons platform project for the jail. And then there's a few smaller projects. There's some fairly expensive software that's... How old is the software in the lab? 20?
Yeah, at least 20 years old.
We have some fingerprint analysis software that's almost two decades old that we'd like to update for the lab. I have probably 8 or 10 different projects that I think with Dave's help, we were really successful last year in being able to project what excess funds we might have in our budget and utilize those funds without overspending. And that would certainly be our goal this year, to be able to add, for instance, on our night patrol teams, I would like to have them have some night vision capability. I think that's an officer safety issue and something important. Just, there's some odds and ends that I think we didn't previously think about, and that if we're able to accomplish those things, then our patrol teams are really well outfitted and well positioned to do their jobs. But we've been accumulating that, and I can come in front of the board with a detailed, and actually I can provide it to the board prior to that meeting in the same format with project numbers and what I think we can accomplish. In addition, as Greg mentioned, should that other issue come to fruition, there's a one-time outfitting cost. I believe I can fund that out of FY24 money as well.
So. Chairman, I have another question, and it relates to Project 37. So when you're looking for resources, I have a note here from last year on the fire district potentially participating with that. So if you had grant funding and then you had the balance of that with the fire district levy, that could free up money in there.
And we've met with Caldwell Fire just, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And had a successful engagement with them. So we're trying to conclude those meetings. The last one will be with Caldwell Police Department to make sure that we're being adequately reimbursed for those services.
Okay. And then can I ask another question? We did a tour with NAMPA PD, and it's just a question to make sure that we're covered if you have an incident where a bomb squad is needed. And I noticed you had a line item in there on one of your labeled bomb. Do you participate in it? Like, how do cities in the county cost share that? Or does NAMPA do all of that? Or how does that work?
Yeah, there's not really a cost share. It's just that there are a few departments that have a bomb techs and a bomb squad. Boise's one, NAMPA's the other, and so they're called upon from time to time to render that assistance.
Okay, and I don't know if Clerk Hogaboom has any thoughts on that, but I didn't know if it was worth having cities and the county engage in discussion on a prorated. I know that increases cost, but if they dispatch for something that's in rural Canyon County, or if another agency uses it, I felt a sense of responsibility to ask the question. So,
Yeah, those callouts are relatively rare. Ray, do you have, or Chuck, do you have the figures on how frequently we might have a bomb squad callout?
I would have to look, but I would agree that they are fairly rare. And like I said, sometimes that disposal has some cost sharing with it as well.
Yeah. And the other, you know, we, for instance, this year, the Nampa Police Department, their SWAT team was at a Christmas party and a callout took place. And so the Canyon County SWAT team went and handled that event for them from start to finish. So there's some give and take in a lot of different areas with canines, with SWAT, with other things. And so I think it all kind of evens out.
And I wasn't trying to overstep into an area. I just was curious. It's interesting, and thank you for what you do.
Okay. Anything else?
Chair?
Yes.
Sorry. Going back to emergency management, I just wanted to state on the record, I was taking some time to kind of fact check. So we do have a discrepancy in what's in Power Plan and what's on the spreadsheet here for FY24, and I've identified what it is. On the spreadsheet that is presented, it showed that there was a new reclass employee under emergency management for $75,000. Our records don't show that that was approved for FY24. So there's a $75,000 discrepancy. It shows the emergency management budget at 304 and change, not the 379 change. So. And I'm just also looking at the budget book, which highlighted the new approved positions for FY24. It doesn't include that position. It's not listed under emergency management. So I don't know if someone has an explanation potentially for it, but I did want to just state that there's a discrepancy in what we have. It's under a new reclass position. There's a $75,000 amount that you have in the spreadsheet that you provided for FY24. So it shows that the bottom line approved budget is what, 379 and change. So it's page, well, it's page one of three under, so it's line 20, which that wasn't approved in the FY24 budget. As far as
so,
I can tell.
Chairman,
yeah.
Mr. Clerk, that was actually approved in 23. So that position was requested in FY23. We struggled to actually fill that position until October. So FY24 was when that position got filled. But that position was approved in FY23.
If it was approved in 23, the funding wasn't reflected in FY24, meaning the budget for emergency management is showing 304 instead of 379. And it's exactly 75K difference. So that's.
So where are you seeing the 304?
What we have in Power Plan, as well as
okay.
What, and it all rolls into what the total.
So
budget as approved has 309 under that subdivision, and our budget, we've only done one quarterly budget report so far, but we're going to do another one next month. And so
these spreadsheets are drawn down from Power Plan. So we'll have to get together to see what I'm looking at and what you're looking at in terms of Power Plan.
Okay. Because it's not, and even doing the math in total, how it all rolls into justice, it's the $75,000 discrepancy is.
Okay.
That's what I think it is.
We'll circle back with you.
Yeah, okay.
Get that straightened out.
So it could have been a position, though, it should have been funded at a 116 versus to emergency management. And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So again, it's just what I'm seeing on Power Plan and what you're seeing in Power Plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get together.
Okay.
And, yeah.
All right. Good catch. Anything else?
The record can reflect that we're done 9 minutes early. So Zach, have lunch. That would be good.
It's all about Zach. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you for having it presented so concisely. If there is anything else, let's consider ourselves adjourned. Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. So we'll be adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.